Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, it's Pro Wrestling Interviews. This is Dr. John Stamey, and boy, we've got a great, we keep having better and better shows. We have a wonderful show tonight. I'm going to turn it over to truly one of the greatest independent wrestlers in the United States, but certainly the greatest wrestler in Ravenel, South Carolina, the one and only, we love him to death, the amazing Velvet. How are you doing tonight, Velvet?
I'm doing great, man. I'm great. I'm ready to get this going. You let me know if anybody else starts to join. I'm sure we'll have a cast of characters before it's over. But I want to introduce my guest tonight. I only got one name, but I know there's a Brotherhood, AJ McIntyre, and who's your partner's name?
That would be the Natural Born Player.
The Natural Born Player. I like it.
He's here.
That's good. So let's get this started. Let me ask both of y'all individually, when did y'all get started in this business? Now, we heard a little bit in the green room, but now that we're live, we want to include everybody. So, AJ, when did you get started in this business?
I was about 18 and a half, 19. I had actually wanted to get into the business earlier, but Nelson was very adamant about people being of age. He didn't train you unless you were an adult. The gym I was going to, there was a sign on the bulletin board that said, "Want to be a pro wrestler? Call this number." And I'm not going to get into too many details about that because it turned out
right,
to be
fine.
Something that was kind of shady.
Right.
But the guy that I called, he said, "Yeah, you know, we got this wrestling company, and you can come try out. It's $200 to try out, and if you make it, you know." And he started talking numbers and everything. He said, "I said, okay, well, give me an idea of what's this tryout about." And he told me, and it was pretty brutal. And I said, "Okay, well, I can't do it right now. I'm going to work up to it because." As a young kid, and, you know, when you're 18 and a half, almost 19, you're still kind of a kid.
Yep.
So I'm saving my money in a mayonnaise jar. I know this sounds kind of strange, but I'm saving it in a jar so I get enough just to do the tryout. And while I'm doing this, I'm training in my backyard. I'm doing free squats and push-ups and suicides and everything I can think of to do. And when the day finally comes where I say, okay, I'm ready, and I went to do the tryout, I called him the day before. I said, I want to do your tryout. I said, okay, and he says, all right, so what we're going to do is, you know, it's with Nelson Royal in Mooresville. You know where that place is at? And I said, yeah, I know. I said, you know, as a matter of fact, my family's kind of friends with Mr. Royal from a Junior Rodeo. He said, "Well, okay, that's fine, but don't bother Mr. Royal. You know, he's a busy man." Well, I'm not one to follow that kind of advice when money's at stake. So I went down and I talked
to
Nelly. And Nelly said, "Oh," and he didn't play on that he knew anything about this at all, or he didn't know anything about it. And
okay.
So I'm telling you, it was one of the most grueling tryouts I've ever done in my life. To this day, if I had to do it, I'd probably fall flat on my face.
hey, this is Dr. John. We got an announcement to make. Excuse me, sir. We got an announcement to make. Number one, Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling, is in the room tonight.
Yeah.
I just got good.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, Rob?
Hey. Oh, great, man. Good to be here.
Who's that guy?
My favorite guy.
Very, very, very interesting story you're telling. That brings back a lot of memories, actually.
Don't tell me you almost got scammed too. Please don't tell me that. Because now the way this thing,
brother, this is a business. Who scammers are everywhere.
Who didn't get scammed? Yeah, who didn't get scammed?
Yeah,
okay,
tell me about it.
Tell
me about it for sure.
So check this out. I'm running up and down this road beside this U-Haul place. With the ring over beside me, I'm not going to get too graphic.
Right?
You know, I got sick, that
Nelson
sort of thing.
Mooresville. Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
I, I've done it too, brother. I'm with you. I did it too, brother. I feel you.
Hey, but I was lucky, Stro. The Cubs have grown up on those hills behind me, so they didn't have me piggyback nobody up and down the hill like they did you guys.
Oh man. Oh man, you got it made then. Oh my God, that was brutal.
Right.
So basically, what happened was this guy from the gym I worked out was trying to run a scam, and he actually knew Nelson, and he was trying to use Nelson's ring without Nelson's permission.
Uh-oh.
And so when I went and said something to Nelson about it, Nelson's like, okay, all right, no problem. And I'm doing this road work up and down and falling over, and it's to the point where I'm no longer running. I'm just kind of walking on my toes. I'm completely out of gas. And here comes that big Suburban that Nelson had. He cranks that thing up, and you can hear it coming over the hill. And it's being pulled up through there. And the guy who's running me through the paces tells me, you know, go over there and stand a minute. And I hear Nelson tell him, he says, look, he says, I heard you got some money for me. Don't make me come get it because I know where you live. And that's how I ended up in the school, because this guy had already got caught. That's exactly how I got in it.
There you go.
He was lucky Nelson was just being nice.
Right? He ain't lying. A twist of that man and her.
I made a mistake with Nelson one time because I was taking martial arts. And in martial arts, they taught me how to break out of a full Nelson. And I asked Nelly to put me in a full Nelson, and I was going to break out of it. Yeah, that was a mistake.
Yeah, good job, buddy. Good job. So let's get on to your tag team partner. How did you get into the business? How did you start out?
Well, my story is, I guess, a little different than AJ's. I come out of the, I guess you could say, I came out of the tennis area. I was a tennis pro. I was a tennis pro for 7 years. I played on the tennis circuit for 7 years in Europe. I came back to my home to Florida.
Yeah.
And I met everybody knows him, Ron Killen. I got in a music business for a little while, and me and Ron met up here in Charlotte when I moved up here with my family early.
Awesome.
Young. I was a young family. My son was just barely three. I'm 27, you know, and moving up here and to work in the hospital. And so, but make a long story short, me and Ronnie got together to do the music, and he found that I played professional tennis. I was doing, I started coaching for a while, and I was like, hey, man, I've always wanted, you know, he said he started training wrestling with Italian Sally. I said, well, let me go and, you know, watch your workout.
I'm sorry.
You know, I'm a big wrestler. I'm a big
yeah, right? I'm
of,
sorry.
Of course. Definitely sorry. And I wind up going to him, watching him work out in the ring with Italian Stallion. And they started talking. They said, he's like, who's your friend right there? He said, my name is Tron. He said, that's Tron.
Mm-hmm.
He said, he's just come off, because I think I was maybe 2 years off the tour, two years off the tour.
Mm.
And he said, he's a professional tennis player. He's just come off the tour. So he asked him to come up in the ring and help Ronnie do, you know, just to shoot him off the ropes. And I had, you know, ever since I was a kid, my stepfather was a wrestler. Called him the Black Cat Eddie Ladd.
Oh.
So
Eddie Ladd.
Out of Lakeland,
yes,
Florida.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
He brought me in. I did the little shoot 'em off, and Ronnie went to go up under me. I didn't know what to do. I was like, I'm a martial artist. I was in the Navy for 10 years. Trained Navy SEAL.
Oh, man, thank you.
So many missions.
Thank you for your service. Thank
you, sir.
First thing,
yes, sir.
Yeah, the first thing that came to me was to jump over him. Did anybody tell me to jump over him? It just snapped. And when Ronnie, I jumped over him, turned around, and he came around. I didn't know what was going on, and I just stuck him with a forearm.
Mm-hmm.
I stuck him with a forearm.
Oh, boy.
Right out of the air.
That's...
And Ronnie hit his ass, And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm 151 pounds, soaking wet. Here's Ronnie, 235, ripped to shreds. And he was like, oh,
yeah.
Shit, what did you hit me with? I was like, it's just my elbow, guy. And Kalyan stand up in the middle of the ring with his mouth open. He was like, what in the hell was that? I'm like, it's just
right.
Reaction, guy. Because, you know, because Ronnie is 6'2". He's 6'2".
Yeah.
I'm 5'10", and I leaped directly over his head. He didn't even have to hardly bend down. That's when I had up.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
but,
He started it
for, I think I started training with him for about a couple of weeks, and then he ran into Manny Fernandez. Me and Manny,
Manny.
Didn't go back, but, you know, Manny was also a Navy SEAL. So we I came in as just watching. And we started talking, and he said, well, get your ass in the ring. He said, it's just like that. He said,
Charles,
get your black ass in the ring.
Charles.
I'm like, what?
Charles, I love you, brother. We got to keep this G,
and
man.
He made me, I'm sorry. He made me puke. He made me puke.
Oh, yeah.
And from then on,
I
got stuck. I was with Manny for 17 months before he even let me do my first match. 17
mm-hmm.
months of training, putting up the ring, breaking it down, getting there early before the matches, training before the matches even start.
I feel you, bro. Doing the
security after the show's over, breaking the ring down, putting it on the truck, and I go home.
Yep.
And then we'll do it again Saturday night. And then you're right back training on Wednesday. You know, so that's
mm-hmm.
how I got in the business. I've been in it since 2000. I started training in 2002. I finished right at the start of 2004. My first match was September 2004, APW. I did 2 years with, APW, what's that, TJ
Eagle?
Yeah, I cut my teeth down at Eagle. And then I went on from there. I went to IWA, NWA Carolinas. NWA Charlotte, Palmetto Championship Wrestling, Sunshine State Wrestling, Georgia Championship Wrestling, went to AMA, which is down in Mexico.
AMA,
kind of ran the gauntlet. Been up in Canada.
Nice.
So
nice.
I didn't get to the big show, but I have done some big shows. And then been very fortunate in this business.
That's more than most,
a lot of great people.
That's more than most.
You know, Gene Ligon. I got a chance to train with Wahoo McDaniels before he passed away. I got a chance to train with Boogie Woogie. That's my guy. You just ask him about the natural born player.
Yes,
all you got to do is call him and ask him. Just say, ask him about natural born player. Yeah, baby, that's my man, baby. That's my man, baby. That's him, man. So.
Yes. Yes.
That's my guy. So that's my spiel of my my career. Like I said, right now I'm coming on 18 years. I love it. I'm still fresh. I don't see myself going anywhere right now. I want to win one more world title, singles title before I hang it up. And I said I'm gonna give it another maybe 7-8 years before I do it.
There you go.
Go for it, man.
There you go.
Go for it.
Absolutely. And do yourself a favor. When you do, go out on your terms, if at all possible. Always go out on your terms. I just had my tag team partner who quit way too early because life got in the way. And 2 weeks ago, he came back out of retirement at 55,
mm-hmm.
and I'm 54. And we went to Augusta, Georgia, so he could have one last tag team match. And that was it. So it was good. I always tell the new generation, make sure when it's over that you do it on your terms. You know, if at all possible.
I tell everyone to listen to your body.
Yes.
Your body
yes.
will tell you when it's time.
Oh, absolutely.
When that bump comes up, they'll let you know real fast.
Yeah, but I have to save my body because I still train tennis players. I still play myself competitively,
right?
And so I'm not.
That's
I'm gonna
awesome.
have to I take care of my body as much. I take care of my body as best as possible because that's how I make my living.
Trust me.
You know, so.
Are you kidding? You should have been training some of the people you met up with, man. All the skills you got, boo. For real.
Exactly.
I'd be taking lessons myself.
I trained one or two people, but they were very ungrateful. So I'm gonna shoot right now. I'm gonna name one. He is the Wolf Man. He called himself Wolf Man. I don't care if you hear it. I don't care because you can't beat my behind. Don't matter. So I started off, you know, with. I started off helping him. And because he came to me, I didn't go to him. He came to me and asked me to work. He said, "Hey, player, would you work with me?" I'm like, "No problem. I have no problem working with anyone in this business to teach them anything that I was taught and picked up along the way from people like Gene Liggett, Manny Fernandez, mm-hmm. the great Willie Clay Jr., my man, like I say, Boogie Woods and Jimmy Valiant. That time, those 4 weeks with Wahoo, he passed 1 week after that.
Wow.
1 week. And it was amazing of the things he taught me. This little stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Him and that stayed with me. And some other things I developed myself, you know, like ring position. I tell everybody about safety, taking care of your guy, you know, not trying to make all your matches everything. I hate to say this. I'm going to say this real quick, and I'm going to stop.
Are you going
to
say cookie cutter?
I hate the way everything looks like you read it on a piece of paper. It's nothing.
Yeah.
If I'm in a fight, I'm not going to be trying to jack with you.
Oh no!
This is a fight. This is a fight.
Right.
Am I going to wait on you to hit me if I'm fighting? Am I going to wait on you to hit me if I'm fighting? No, I'm going to bush you directly in the top of your brain.
Yes, it.
I'm going to try to drop kick you out your socks or suplex you into next week.
Mm-hmm.
Or take a body part and stretch it till I tear it off and beat you with it.
You know, I got called down one time at a wrestling school because one of the people there who were like the trainers said that my arm drag looked too much like a shoot. And I said, well, wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to make this look real? Aren't we magicians and stuntmen at the same time? We don't want to tell you how we do our tricks, but when we do it, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to break any bubble of kayfabe, but it's supposed to look like a shoot.
Well, Stro, if you remember any matches that you've seen me wrestle, you've known when somebody done something wrong.
Absolutely.
Oh, I gave them more than one chance
mm-hmm.
to make it right or to stay with the program.
Yep, that's it.
You're nicer than I am.
Well, I'm not going to tell you something about myself. I'm not that nice. I might sound nice. I'm not that nice.
I'm not that nice.
I'll take him to the ring and talk to him.
I'm not nice at all.
Listen.
No.
Haven't heard. I'm not going to get it. This is for another time. This is for us to sit down and you can hear this story. But there's a famous story of a beatdown that the Amazing Velvet took, and it was from Susan Green. And Susan Green is, if you know who Susan is, she don't play in the ring at all. Well, we had a match set up for her, and at intermission, I'm lacing my boots, and I see her walk up, and I'm still got my face down, and she goes, "Where's my opponent?" I said, "I don't know. Where's he at?" She goes, "He's gone. His bag's gone. It's gone. So you're just gonna have to take one for the team."
Wow.
I went, "Man, come on, man." It was no disqualification, false count anywhere in the building. She broke two kendo sticks over me. She threw me through the locker room door before the match was even over.
Wow.
And threw me back through it. It was, I'll have to tell you about it later. I hit everything in that building. So anyway.
Velvet, this is Dr. John. We have somebody coming in from Skype, the 111 number. Hey, identify yourself. Who are you?
Well, I figured I'd call in after all these months.
Finally, Brian.
Oh, my God, you're here.
Hey, Brian.
WSC Lounge is in the room.
Hey. How you doing,
Hey, Brian,
Sue?
Where's Kyle?
He's still looking for Kyle.
I don't know.
All right.
Great to hear from you, brother.
So, guys, so Appalachian Championship Wrestling is in Vail, North Carolina, correct?
That is correct.
Vail, North Carolina.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and that is October 23rd. Am I correct on that as well?
Correct.
So, who runs that promotion? Runs that promotion?
A gentleman by the name of Will Bradshaw.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Will Bradshaw?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Will Bradshaw.
Okay, cool.
And I will say this, this is one of the proud moments of working there. My manager, Big Daddy T, which I hope we'll call in later at some point, he is an ordained minister. He actually is the minister for the biker church in Forest City, North Carolina. Jimmy Mellon, who is one of the bookers there, is an ordained minister, and I don't remember what church he's at. One of the co-owners, a guy by the name of Daniel Moses, is, I believe, a deacon. So we're surrounded by people of the church, and like I say, we're affiliated with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And that's why you hear a curse word out of my mouth.
And I apologize.
So that's okay. You're good.
Because
one. Yeah, you're good. So is this organization carrying itself like what I was in, a WFJ Wrestling for Jesus? Does it carry itself the same way, or is this just an independent organization that they happen to run?
It's pretty much an independent organization that they happen to run. The basis of the company, the overall principles, are it's family entertainment.
Okay.
Now I will say, and it's just starting to happen a little bit. There will be a cage match on October 23rd.
Okay.
They say the good Lord willing and the creek don't rise. But there's a cage match scheduled between this one guy who's kind of a mass pain in the rear. Called Venom, and the owner, Appalachian Superman, Will Bradshaw.
Nice.
Okay. Cool.
So that's going to be real interesting to watch.
What time does that show start?
I'm sorry.
7 p.m., sir.
Okay, cool. That way, when I go back through this, I can continue to promote that show for y'all.
It would be very much appreciated.
So, tell me, who are you guys going to be going up against on this particular card?
I'm almost about ready to bust out in laughter. We don't know who we're going to wrestle. That's the strange thing about this. We'll find out the day of.
I don't care.
I don't care.
I like him. He don't care.
Put him in the ring. Put him on the ring. Put him in the ring.
They're fair
game. Put him in the ring. They get what everybody else got. That's what happens. You get what everybody else got.
I think it's going to be nice that night.
Right? We sent the B team. The B team needs to get it happen. They sent the A team.
You will especially.
And we went and took what we need to get.
Stry, you will especially like this, I have modified a hold that was last used by a gentleman by the name of Lofty Blomfield in Auckland, New Zealand. He was an NWA world champion there. It was called the Octopus Clamp. I modified as a leg lock, and once I lock it on, there's no escape, and that is an absolute shoot.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Nice.
I would love to check that out.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That would be cool.
I mean,
it looks like a modified
scorpion, but there's no way out of it.
Oh, that's
all right. Well, that sounds interesting. So do you know anybody else who's going to be on that card? Because you don't know your opponent, so who else is going to be there?
I know.
We already said about
funny?
The boss. What's that?
I said, isn't that funny? Yeah, we don't know who our opponent's going to be. I think that's hilarious.
That's a setup.
Because pretty much our opponent's going to be the one who is going to get their tail end beat.
Because we're
quite frankly the best tag team there, and that's not bragging. That's just a fact.
You got to be careful with people like that. That could be a setup, man. Just watch your back.
An octopus leg lock, man. I got to check this out, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, no kidding, right? I'm with you on that. So, who else is on this card?
The Venom? Who else?
You got Venom. You got that Mass Menace guy going against that Kraken guy.
Mass Menace. Right. The Clown Crew.
You got that mime guy. I don't know all that. I don't know the full card, to be honest.
Okay.
I know about the main event, and I know that we're defending our tag titles. That's all I know.
So far, it sounds like a
I wish I knew more. It'd be a lot easier to promote it if you knew a lot more.
It's okay. You can shoot me a text later. But here's the thing: is this the only company you work for, or do you work for others?
As far as I'm concerned, right now I'm only working for this company. My other job that affords me insurance, and I know you guys know where that's coming from. Affords me insurance takes a lot of my time. I work. Last week I did 72 hours working.
Nice.
Wow.
So I don't really have a whole lot of free time. I'd love to branch out and get away from, you know, Vail and work other places, but it would really have to be worth my time. And I hate to put it that way, but it's just the truth.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that.
What about you, sir? What about your partner?
Well, with my schedule, I can pretty well move my schedule around. I usually go to either it's in Georgia with the IWA, Independent Wrestling Alliance there in Georgia, or... I'm here, or if not, I'm usually on the tennis court training young players and keeping myself in shape
as
possible. Spending
Very
time
good.
With my granddaughter, and
there you go.
Just live life
that's
and enjoy it.
Important.
That's it.
Yeah, man.
That's
very
great,
important.
Man.
Very good.
Yes.
Yeah, man. So, is there?
I'll be glad to come down
with
you on
this.
Russell.
Come on down.
I'm glad to come down.
Well, I'm not in Myrtle Beach. I'm in Charleston.
You're in Charleston? That's even better. South Carolina.
My organization, well, Myrtle Beach is in South Carolina.
What a town.
Too, but I'm saying I'm in Charleston.
Love
Charleston. I run a group. I have a group called Battleground Championship Wrestling. Papa Stroh is my heavyweight champion at the time being. It's on this call.
Well, Stroh knows me. So Stroh knows me.
Well,
all you got to do is ask him.
Oh, man. Way back, brother.
So, yeah.
Stroh was one of the first guys that really kind of helped me out in this business. He really did. He really did.
Oh, man. My pleasure,
ask
brother.
Anything better than that.
Man, you're awesome, man.
Because I was lost. I was one place I was lost. I mean, lost in I had a bad relationship, and I was kind of just lost. And the Brotherhood of Wrestling has brought me through that, especially AJ. He was really there for me in my time of need. Because it really devastated me and blindsided me. So I just wanted to say that because even though we're wrestlers and we do what we do because we love what
we
do.
Have lives. We have lives.
Yeah, this is a passion. This is a passion for us. But, you know, we have lives and things do take it. Matter of fact, no pun intended, but it takes its bump. It takes its bump on us.
Yeah.
It does something to our bump
mm-hmm.
car, you know? So.
Yes,
oh,
sir.
There it is. Just want to thank you, Brotherhood of Wrestling.
You mentioned something that I want to speak on, and I think because there's a lot of people who don't understand, you know, really what the Brotherhood is, because there's a connotation with another Brotherhood that doesn't stand for anything that we stand for. The Brotherhood is in Stro, you know this yourself, man. How many brothers do we have in the business?
Oh God, true brothers. Very few and far between, man, nowadays.
Right. Yeah, true that.
Right.
True that.
A bunch of acquaintances, right? So when you get those guys that just have such chemistry that you know, if one of us is hurting, the other one calls and says, hey, man, what can I do to help you? Is there something, you know, that I can do to help? You know what? You need to get out of that house. Let's go. You know, let's go do something.
Mm-hmm.
That's your brothers. And so everybody goes around calling everybody brother. But how many mm-hmm. people are actually brothers? Everybody in our group would jump in front of a train for another one. That is the brotherhood.
Well, that's old school. That's not today's school because they don't care. Today they're like, look at me, I'm a superstar. You paid no dues.
Flock spot monkeys.
You paid no dues. I can ask about 15 people, hey, come set this ring up. How do you set it up? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's like ridiculous. It's like get away from my stuff. Just walk away. But they don't know because a lot of people now today have a set spot. The ring stays up. It doesn't come down. They train there and run shows there. That's a lot of places right now. There's not a lot
right.
of people like myself that still move around from place to place and have to set up and tear down. You know, there's
right.
a few in South Carolina. There's not a lot. A lot of them have a set spot. So it's like, come on, man. You know, these kids, they don't know. They have no clue.
One of the biggest arguments I ever got with anybody in wrestling was over a ring. And what happened was we were out in some gated community. Don't ask me where. I've taken way too many bumps to the head. But we were out in this gated community. And it was time to break down the ring, right? And these guys who'd wrestled like maybe 2 years was like, oh, man, I didn't pay my dues. And they got in the car and started leaving, right? And in the meantime, Bobby Fulton and me and a bunch of other guys was helping break down the ring. And I'm like, you talking about you paid your dues and look at this man.
Yeah, no kidding.
Made me so...
mm-hmm. He's a star. He's a legend.
When I go back and I think about that, I want to curse, but I'm not going to. You
right.
know, guys
you
don't understand what paying their dues are.
No, they don't. Not today. At all. It's the me generation. Look at me.
No.
I'm a superstar. Pay me. Pay you what? You know?
You hadn't done anything.
And God forbid if you... been on an AEW one AEW dark match or one Impact Plus dark match or one dark match anywhere, you're a new superstar. I won $100. I laugh. I go, you didn't get no $100. I paid you $25 the last two shows per show. I said, I tell you what. I'll give you $30. Yeah, give me no $100. Like, no.
I at least have a pay increase. Guys ought to be happy to get it.
Yeah. Well, I remember
hot dog was $5.
Oh, you got lucky to get $5.
Hot dog and $5.
I'll tell you.
About $5?
I know you
got
$5.
$5.
Man, hey,
I put that in the gas
get
tank.
Get them boys a hot dog. No pickle this time.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord.
Just a little bit of chili.
Was them cheap red ones that made things turn
off. Yeah, the nitrate sticks that glowed in the dark.
Yeah, that's what they were.
Ew.
Yeah.
You eat some things, next thing you know, you want to go to sleep and you don't know why.
Well, why?
Yeah,
yep,
that's
man.
It.
You got that itis.
You know that. You got that itis. That's all right. I'll make a funny I'll make a funny Jay reference. My tag team was Tommy Feathers and the Amazing Velvet, okay? We were simply sweet. We'd walk into the locker room, shake hands, talk to everybody. He'd come out of his little office and go, "Where are them queer boys at? I sure do like them queer boys."
Oh my God.
Hey, Tommy Feathers, Velvet, who y'all want to work tonight?
Oh my God.
Oh, we had fun. He was funny. I sure do like them queer boys. You're wrong to get them boys a pickle. We got paid, I think, twice out of all the time we went there. Like, man, we got to go back there. Yeah, we need to go visit and, you know, maybe do a couple shows. No. I remember one night we taped for two weeks. We started at 7, and the taping for the 2 weeks did not end till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
I like, no, never again, bro.
I want to ask you guys a question. Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah.
What's the strangest opponent you ever had in the ring? The strangest match?
Oh
man, I got a good one.
Oh, please.
Tron, you know mine. You wait till they hear my story.
You go ahead.
Oh, well. I went to, everyone knows AIWS, right? I went to AIWF. I just really started wrestling with them. My former girlfriend at the time got me booked there. So they say they needed someone to work a certain person. I won't mention their name. I don't know if they want their name mentioned or not, but I will say they were of the Rainbow Coalition. So nobody would work them. No one. So I happened to come in the locker room, and it was like, player, because I was there. I got a little late. I was doing tennis then. I was like, I got there a little late. It was like, player, we need you to wrestle first. I'm like, well, I don't ever wrestle first. But I'm like, that's fine. Dude,
you
I get in and get
Kate
out of
here. You wrestled Kate and Pierre, didn't you?
No, I wrestled Foxy Roxy.
Okay, just as good.
And I was like, I'm thinking Foxy Roxy is a girl.
Wrong.
A real girl. So, I meet Foxy
That's
Roxy,
what
very nice person. Yeah, very nice person. And they were, it was because when I looked, I was like, I got this thing about it. I don't wrestle women. So don't ever put a woman in a ring with me.
Right.
But I looked at him, I'm like, this ain't no doggone woman. And I went to town. And you can see the look on the people's faces when I hit them. When I tried to suplex them out their socks. When I gave them a back kick from HE double hockey stick. It was a look on those people's faces. And you had all these people with the green hair, the orange hair, the pink hair, and they looked at me like I was the devil's son-in-law. Everything I did, they're the good guy, I'm the bad. I did it with mouth. Like I was mean, I was pulling the hair, wiping the makeup off, doing all kinds of stuff. Oh,
yikes.
My gosh. That was very strange. And that
yikes.
Night was strange. But when I got out, guess what we happened? We got a standing ovation.
That's
and
good.
Foxy Rock has been on ever
That's
since then.
That's how you're supposed to do it.
Everybody else will wrestle her now. Everybody else will wrestle her now.
There you go. Awesome.
But that was weird. That was too weird for me.
AJ?
That was weird for me.
Yes. I've actually got two if you want to know mine, because it's kind of a tie. I'll tell you the one that was strange, and I'll tell you the one that's kind of funny. I was wrestling I'm not going to use any names of these promoters. I don't want to give these people any kind of publicity whatsoever. But I was wrestling for this one promoter, And he had a champion who happened to fly a rainbow flag, and he was really proud of it. And we're in the back, and we're talking out, and I said, well, what do you want to do in the match? And he looks at me, and he goes, I want you to stretch me. I said, well, he said, I want you to stretch me. I want you to stretch me out. I said,
okay.
Excuse me, do what? He goes, yeah, I want you to stretch me out. And I don't think he understood the terminology. But whenever I got to the ring and right after the tie-up, I probably put him in probably 8 or 9 submission holds in about 5 minutes. And next thing you know, the guy's like whipping around the ring. And the finish had to be changed because he couldn't do his little moonsault thing that he was doing. And, I mean, I stretched him out. It didn't hurt him, but he couldn't do his little moonsault thing. So well, the match was all over with, and the promoter was hot. He was mad. He was mad. He gave me my pay envelope. I started going up the road, and I opened it. It was $5 in there. I said, well, okay, I get the message. That was fun. Never. That's why I won't mention his name. Now, the other one, I was working for Jay Eagle. And there was this guy from Atlanta. before the whole Terry Funk, Chainsaw Charlie thing.
Oh, boy.
He come in with a chainsaw, and he called himself Chainsaw Charlie. And this was before the whole Terry Funk thing in WWE, whatever it was in. And I'm wrestling this guy, and I put him in a head scissors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm working it, and I'm working the move, and all of a sudden I feel something that it just got awful right on the back of my leg. It's hurting. It's burning. What in the heck?
Oh.
And I look down, and this guy has popped his false teeth out, and he's holding between his fingers like a castanet, and he's pinching the crap out of the back of my leg. I gotta admit, that's the
Leave it to AJ.
Thing I've ever seen in my life, and that was strange. I did not know how to act to that. I was like,
that's very strange. Man,
that was the point where I let go and I powdered because I couldn't figure out what to do with him after that.
I guess not. He's taking his teeth out.
That's great.
That is Walking Dead.
Great.
Oh, awesome.
I mean, how do you explain to the referee? Referee's biting me. No, I see his head right there.
It's a good thing he didn't.
But teeth are right here, ref. His teeth are right here.
Can you imagine?
See, they're in my hand.
That's funny. Holy cow. I had a kid. Here again, like I told y'all in the green room, I don't like wrestling rookies. I'm in Georgia, middle of somewhere in Georgia. It's, I don't know. And
anyway,
I think it's
Georgia,
Covington or what. Anyway, kid 17 years old, is 6 foot tall, 300 pounds.
Wow.
I'm like, I know this kid don't know. I said, I don't know, this kid don't know how to work. I know this is not going to happen. This is not going to be fun. So I'm talking to him.
Yeah.
I said, listen, I'm going to give you 2 things to do. Okay? I said, you're going to push me in the corner. You're going to go to hit me. I'm going to duck under. I'm going to hit the rope. I'm going to run. You press me over your head and give me this big slam. Okay? And then the next thing you do, you will catch me in the corner, and you'll hit me a couple times, and I'll fall out. That's all I gave, right? So I come running. He almost dropped me on my head because he was weak. I was a buck 55 at the time. He couldn't get me up after I jumped as high as I could, did everything I could to hold myself there, and he almost dropped me on my head. So I got mad. So I pushed him in the corner, and I lit him up. I gave him back. I gave him the back, 2 back and 2 overhands right to the chest. So then I feel this burn on my leg. He had a manager in a mask, and the manager broke his cane over the back of my leg. That's how hard he hit. I went, uh-uh. I just stood there. The crowd's going, they're all like, yeah, yeah. I went, uh-uh. No. So I jump out the ring, and he's got this big old black mask on, and I grab him by the back of the head. He goes, I'm handicapped. You can't hit me. I'm handicapped. You can't hit me. And I got the crowd to quiet down, and this is where my phrase came from to this day. I said, I'm an equal opportunity wrestler. I hit all men, women, children, and handicapped people. and I reared back and punched him right in the face, hard as I could. He goes down. I go in. His buddy's looking, so I slide up between his legs, roll him up. I told the referee, count three. Referee counts three. I go to the back, right? So the kid's already back there crying. He's got his mask up, holding his face, going, he hit me in the face. And the promoter goes, hey, stupid, if that would have been me out there, I'd have kicked your ass all the way to the back. He goes, he was nice. He hit you one time. So those are things you don't want to get involved in. But that was probably one of my top that, you know, everything seemed it was going to be okay. This kid's big. Yeah, he's going to be able to do it. I'm happy, right? Because I was worried about it in the beginning. And then, gee, I should have listened to my instinct. It was going to be bad. Turned out bad. Anyway. But, yeah, don't do that stuff. Don't do any of it. Don't do any of it.
None of it.
Stro, you got one?
Oh, gosh. Too many.
Got
but,
plenty.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, okay. Well, here's one. And this involved another one of my trainers, Ivan Koloff, Russian Bear. And this was up in Kings Mountain, North Carolina, years ago, right? And I was going to be on the show with Ivan, but the promoter had booked Ivan and I for a show, and then he told Ivan the show was off, but he told me the show was still on. So earlier that day, I went up to Ivan to see Ivan, chat with him for a bit. He was doing the, like, Children's Miracle Network thing for Walmart, right, in the town,
yeah,
next town over. And I was telling him, I said, Ivan, I'm on my way to the show tonight. You come? And he said, how about the show's canceled? He said, not that I know of, right? And Ivan's like, hey, brother, you mind if I follow you down there? I said, no, it'd be my pleasure, right? Of course. So he follows me down to the town, right? And I get in there, and there's, like, names on this card, like Scud Way, and names I've never heard before in my life. And you know how some promotions have a bunch of Gibsons and Mortons and Flairs,
yeah,
all the cousins,
yeah,
that they didn't even know about?
Yeah.
they're all booked at the show, right? So Ivan gets in the locker room, and the guy looked like he'd seen a ghost, right? He didn't know I was going to be there. I even put this promo on. I wish to God it was on TV. It was tremendous. And after he made the guy feel like a French fry, he walks out and he gives me the Iggy for the office, because I think he found out I was working with the promoter was also worth a big surprise on the show. So and I had a match with him later that night. Well, after Ivan left, you know, he was talking all this crap about, oh, that was nice. I think he's there. Well,
we're here in the car.
Yeah. Well, what happened is he left, and the promoter, all of a sudden, you know, he grew a set and started talking junk about Ivan, right? And you know, the wheels always turned.
Ivan
already
wasn't there.
You knew Ivan wasn't there, right?
Right.
And so right before match time, I'm right there before I go out through the door to the ring, and the ring announcer and the referee comes up to me and asks me what the finish of the match is going to be. And, it didn't crash. Well, the ring announcer and the referee. I took out my chewing gum I was chewing on at the time, and I stretched it out real big. And there I got big as sausage. I was like, yep, that's the finish, right? So I get out there. Of course, I'm the first one to the ring. I'm waiting for the guy. And the guy comes out, I kid you not, with a jack-in-the-box. And the chain connected to a jack-in-the-box, swinging around like nobody's business. And he got in the ring with a jack-in-the-box. I grabbed that thing. I said, get this piece of crap out of here. I kicked a field goal with the thing out of the ring, right? I'm not going to lie. I beat the living crap out of that kid. I drew him out of the ring. I must have suplexed him against the wall, slammed him through a table a few times. No, I took him over the building. I had his family come after me with a knife. You get back in the ring.
Yeah.
I think I power bombed him twice, and just like it wasn't even much of a cover. I just put my foot on him. That was, you know what I mean. I remember giving him a sharpshooter and slapping him in the back of the head at the same time while doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I forget all what I did that night, but afterwards, right, he gets in there. I actually get a raise and pay. He gives me a raise and pay, right? But I find out from the guys that set up the ring that he's not going to set up the ring, right? I mean, not set up the ring, but pay the ring crew for set up the ring. And they had drove, like, I guess 6 hours to the town.
Man. Oh, no.
The ring.
Mm-mm.
And I'm thinking, this ain't
right
happening,
there.
Right? So I barred to the door, and I said, look, dude, if you're not going to pay the ring crew, I'm calling my grandfather from New York. He's going to pay you a visit. And, boy, did he make it rain then, man. I saw so much money. It was like hitting the lottery, man. It was amazing. And the ring crew got taken care of that night. But I wasn't going to leave the building until he paid that ring crew, man. That was ridiculous. But, yeah, that was crazy. I never had anybody come at me with a jack-in-the-box and the chain before. Yeah, I've been to a lot of things, but that was like a first.
You're one of my favorite guys. And you've met me before. Do you remember me? Do you remember me at all?
Yeah, it's been a minute.
My little short wife, yeah, she died in 2015. But, yeah, she was a
huge fan. I'm so sorry to hear that, bro.
But the thing, and I don't know if I've ever told you this before or not, but at one time I was going to put my hat in the ring for as far as being a promoter. And so I was going to do my first show. And so I went around and I grabbed numbers of different guys, and one of the people's number I got, I'll go ahead and say his name because I don't think it'll make him mad, Barbarian. And I'm like, well, Barbarian, you know, who do you want to work? And he's like, oh, man, you know, I can work Buff. I'm like, okay, all right. He goes, but no stroke. I said, no stroke? Why no stroke? Stroke, shoot up. Stroke, shoot.
Oh, I love Barbarian.
I want you to work stroke.
Dude, he was pulling your leg, buddy. He was pulling your leg.
I got to tell you all this real quick. Speaking of Barbarian, right, we used to do TV down in Orlando, you know, for WCW, right? When we're too far from where Haku lives, you know, Ming, right? And so Barbarian and Haku, we hung out a lot together, you know, on the road and everything. And he asked me during one of those tapings down there if I could find a partner to play. We'd play two-on-two basketball, you know what I mean, after the tapings, right? So, hey, that's cool. So I literally asked everybody in the company, even down – the office. I think Sullivan was the office at the time. And everybody turned me down because they knew who I was playing against, right? So it ended up being a handicap match. Handicap ball game, myself against Barbarian and Ming. And brother, let me tell you something. I took more bumps on that court than I ever did in the ring with him. And Barbarian was blocking the sun with his hand, saying, shoot, butta, shoot. I said, dude, you're blocking the sun. You're like an eclipse. And so I tried to get cute with Haku, right? So waist locking him, right? We dribbling the ball. He literally drags me down court, dribbling the ball, shoots it up, lays it up, and scores. And after the game, I'm all black and blue, and they made it up to me, took me out to dinner later on that night. But, man, that was something, man.
That's – take a beating.
Yeah.
Well, Haku, you know that little game that parents play with their kids about got your nose? I wouldn't want to be a family and have that name.
Yeah.
No,
sir.
Don't you know?
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir.
Not at all.
All right.
I couldn't help
so
it.
So we
I'm
got
sorry.
About – no, you good. We got about 6 minutes. I'm going to give it around the room. If you have any plugs, anything like your show, plug your show. You got any social media you want to plug, anything like that. So I'll start with Stroh has a laundry list, so I'll start with Stroh. Stroh, you hit us first.
Oh, thank you. Tuesday night, I'll be on the In the Room podcast with Brady Hicks, Cassie Fitzpatrick, Derek McDonald, and Matt Grimm. Thursday night, WCW Retro will be hosting on VSNation.com, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our discussion will be what if. And we'll be talking about different situations in the wrestling business through the years, what if certain things would have happened in the course of that would have changed history and all that. So you got any what if stories you like to share, call in. And then Friday night, continuing the month of Papa Ween on the Stro Zone at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my Facebook page, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. The midnight feature for Friday night will be Dracula from the 30s, starring Bela Lugosi. So please tune in.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Cool.
I like old horror movies.
No, me too, bro.
The only thing I'm going to say is you can see me and the Natural Born One in Vail, North Carolina on the 23rd of October at bell time 7 p.m. That's all I'm really going to be here about. I got a Facebook and all that for Appalachian right. Championship Wrestling.
Championship Wrestling. There you go. Cool. What do you got there, Natural Born?
Let's do it the correct way. We will say ACW family. What it is, this is your favorite neighborhood player. Want to tell you to be in Vail, North Carolina, the 23rd. If you ain't there, you is a square. If you ain't sitting, you ain't sweating. If you ain't come to see us, you might as well get on the bus and take yourself on back where you at. And stay with us. Come on down. Make some sounds, baby. Get it in. Make a friend. ACW Championship Wrestling. Yours truly, the Natural Born One. Tell them about it. Because if you don't know, now you know. Holler back at
you. That's right. Very good.
I should have
Brian. Hey, Brian, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Hey, Brian, how you doing, buddy? What do you got going on in your WSC lounge, man? What you got, anything?
At this time, I do not. I am in talks with someone. Me and that person are just waiting to hear back from their publicist, and she's supposed to let me know in a couple of days, and depending on how that goes, and then I guess that
booked.
Keep us
posted on that. Let us know, man. We'll definitely help promote all that stuff. Name me a few stars that you've had on your show prior. Just give me a couple.
You mean wrestlers or what?
It doesn't matter. Anybody, soap stars, actors,
okay,
wrestlers. It doesn't matter.
I've had Mark Merrow. I've had Papa Stro. I've had Eric Bischoff, Tully Blanchard, Maurice Bernard, Kristen Alderson, Katie Bell Aiken from American Idol. Danica McKellar from the Wonder Years, Ben Jones, Dukes of Hazzard, Cooter, Thunderbolt Patterson, Nikita Koloff.
My man.
And let's see, Sonny Ono and Glacier.
Cool.
And a lot more.
Yeah, Sonny Ono.
Brian, this is Dr. John, and you've had me on your show.
That's right. I have had you on the show. I've had so many people on the show. I tell you that I've had over 200 something, and by the grace of God, and I've had so many people that I've actually forgot everybody. Like the other day, I was talking about guests, and somebody said, "Hey, you've had me on the show too." I said, "Oh yeah, that's right. I had you too."
It's all good. We understand. So, guys, the Brotherhood, we thank you for coming on the show. You're welcome back.
Thanks for having us.
Time.
It was our pleasure.
Maybe after the 23rd, we can have you on to find out what happened on the 23rd. Maybe get a recap from you. Or maybe just say, hey, we want to just be on the show. It's all good. You're welcome back anytime. We're always here every Sunday night, 9 p.m. Hit me up if you guys want to come back and do I'll hit y'all up too, but if you want to do,
that'd be great.
You know, after the show, so we can hear what happens.
But great. And if you want me to come to North South Carolina, just hit me up on my Facebook page at Still Trying Pain at Facebook. You can also catch me on
okay.
my Instagram. Same thing, Still Trying Pain. You'll see all my pictures, matches, YouTube, from really kind of when I first started. Some people have been pulling matches when I first started out with me and my partner Antonio Townsend. This will be a part of
nice.
When we all ran together. Yeah, so.
Right, cool.
I am ready to rock, ready to roll. Anybody want me to come holler at your boy, and I will make it to the ring.
Got you, man.
And I,
all right,
and I beat some folks
good.
Up.
That's it. Love you, brother.
There you go. Love you,
guys.
Man. Y'all be
love
good. Dr. John,
yes,
take
you
it home.
When you can. Y'all be good.
We'll take it home. We'll see everybody next week on Pro Wrestling Interviews, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here. Have a great one.
Yes, sir.